This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Josh Engel is going to join us this hour in the next segment. Talk some Major League Baseball with Josh. Mike Palm is going to join us in studio. Always great to have the maestro in studio. Get Palm's Pressing 3 as well. Hour number three, Reed Kuhn's going to join us to break down UFC 317. The only way that Reed knows, and it is fantastic. Those numbers that Reed puts out, they've been using the industry for over a decade. So we'll get to Reed in hour number three. Update very quickly. We mentioned the Rocket Classic. Kyle Morikawa might have hurt us, Jensen. Off to a good start. One under through two. I don't know if he's even got a caddy. But so far, so good for Colin. We got Si Young. It wasn't Cameron Young, PGA Tour. It was Carson Young that gave back the bogey. Goodness. So Carson Young is even. Cameron Young's like, what are you guys talking about? I'm having my breakfast right now. So Cameron is not gotten out there on the course. You want to make those first round leader bets. And the captain, oh, captain, my captain, Keegan Bradley is 2 under through two, tied for the lead with Alex Noren and Adam Hadwin to begin this. Jensen.
It's 10 to 1. Oh, he's the top betting choice right now. 10 to 1 just went ahead of Morikawa.
What is going on with this guy? Wait, so I guess, can we make this transitive property that if you get named to be Ryder Cup captain the year before, that next year you're going to play the best golf of your life? I mean, this is amazing what's happening.
Yeah, it is. Credit to him. And I think he, you know, again, momentum, we always say in baseball, is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. Well, you win the way that you did for Keegan over Tommy Fleetwood, and I have to believe there's a little tailwind for him right now with the way that he has started here at the Troy Golf Club. So I think he wants to leave no doubt that he wants to be a part of it. I mean, God, wouldn't you want someone, if you're in that locker room, if you're Team USA for the Ryder Cup, wouldn't you want your captain? Like, not only am I your captain, but I'm as good as anyone in here. And just check the numbers. This is how good I'm playing right now.
Again, I think you and I are under the belief, and I think most of American golf fans are, that he's going to have to name himself to the team if he doesn't qualify on points. He wins this. I'm not saying he's going to win. He wins this week. Yeah, we can end that discussion. This would be a moot point at that point. And, oh, by the way, we have not had a playing captain in the Ryder Cup since 1962, when Arnold Palmer was named the captain. Arnold Palmer. So we're talking about generational stuff that we're seeing here for Keegan Bradley. And I don't think anybody's going to say, other than Keegan Bradley, that he doesn't want to be on this team, because Keegan wanted to do the duties of the captain. And now he's playing so well. That's been the new part of that story. We'll keep updating that as the show goes. But let's get to it. Hour number two, highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Surprise, surprise. Wasn't a surprise. Cooper Flagg, number one pick of the NBA draft. No surprise there. Three Dukies go in the top 10. That might be a bit of a surprise, Jensen. What's your biggest takeaway from what you saw last night in the first round of the NBA draft?
All right, so, you know, the Mavericks are going to try and be in win-now mode, obviously, with what assets they've acquired. Yep. Anthony Davis, so the re-signing of Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson back in the fold, and now Cooper Flagg. As big of an addition and potential future face of the franchise here as the number one overall selection. It doesn't really change the pecking order for me here in the Western Conference thus far. I think you and I had talked about it when the odds initially came out. I think both you and I looked at the Thunder and the Rockets and said those are just unplayable numbers for us. Mm-hmm. And I went right to the Denver Nuggets. You still have the best player in Nikola Jokic. I want to say right now is looking, they're still 9-1. To win the West next year, even after the draft last night. I think you and I are very intrigued about what the San Antonio Spurs will do now with Dylan Harper, second overall selection. Will they still be in the Giannis Antetokounmpo sweepstakes for a potential trade? And, you know, really outside of that, I don't know if you want any long shot capability. I mean, the Brooklyn Nets make history last night with those first or those five first round picks. Do you want anything to do with them at 150-1 to win the East? I mean, I, you know, you'd rather take the Heat, right? The Heat somehow find a way in the playoffs to get them at 55-1. And so that would be really my primary takeaway from last night, other than it was such a snooze fest, unbearable to watch. That is the big thing. Really nothing unchanged for me in the Western Conference thus far.
Could I interest you in this number, Counselor? Cooper Flagg to average 6 or more rebounds per game and Dallas to win the West at 40-1.
Okay. Interesting.
So do that mental math. He's 6 rebounds again in 40-1 on DraftKings. They got all these specials up now for the Mavericks because Cooper Flagg went number one overall. Mike, Cooper Flagg to average 18 or more points per game and 6 rebounds a game. You can get that at almost 3-1 at plus 285. I gave you the long shot there at 40-1 to win the conference. I don't know if I want to go there, but boy, you want to take Cooper Flagg to average 23 or more points per game and 6 rebounds, 45-1. Like, Jensen, a lot when you're the number one pick, as Zion Williamson and beyond, the expectation level gets ratcheted up right away. So that's why we're seeing these specials in these numbers. I don't know that they can win the West, but I do feel like I'd rather be sitting in Dallas' shoes today, ironically, than the Lakers now with Luka Doncic and LeBron James. Am I crazy for thinking that?
No, I guess that my only follow-up would be what market do you feel Cooper Flagg is the better chance for the average points per game at 18 or more or the rebounds at 6 per more?
I think the rebounds, because I never know if the scoring is going to translate right away. Yep. I know the effort's going to be there. And I know he's going to do his duties to clean the glass. I'd probably go that market if you made me today, but it's fascinating. So these markets right now populating on your screen at DraftKings, but they are up as we speak. We've been talking a lot about National League Rookie of the Year, and it looks like nobody beats the Miz. Because right now, Jacob Mizrowski looks like an ace of ace for the young guns out there. And I know we're going to talk a lot about what we're seeing in Cincinnati. But he did out-duel Paul Skeens yesterday. And I know maybe the Skeens side of it, he gives up 4 runs in the second inning, and that's never happened in his young career. But it's amazing to me, Jensen. I feel like Paul Skeens was clearly overshadowed yesterday.
Well, yeah, and by the way, shout-out to the Brewer fans and really everyone involved there. 40,000, a sellout on a Wednesday afternoon.
Wow.
Yes, it's the summer. But it just tells you the intrigue around this pitching matchup in and of itself, in the last week of June, heading to the dog days here. So right now, Rookie of the Year, Jacob Mizrowski, your betting favorite at minus $1.25. Drake Baldwin of the Atlanta Braves, plus +450. Chase Burns. I believe our friend Will Hill got him at 100-1. Woo! He is all the way down to plus +750. The handicap moving forward here, it really comes down to, if the Brewers stay in contention, how do they allow Jacob Mizrowski's workload to transpire? All right, is it a point where we have revisionist history and we look at what Paul Skeens did last year? We also asked the same thing. The Pirates were not going to be in it.
Right.
Do they shut him down? Do they allow him to pitch through the end of the year? Same question is probably going to be here for Jacob Mizrowski. You and I believe probably the Reds will be in this far longer than the Brewers, and that's why Chase Burns at 20-1 now feels really good to have in pocket, because they will not, the Reds aren't going to, extend Chase Burns too much. But I think after 3 starts to be at $1.25,
that's insane.
Wow.
I'll just tell you, for people who don't remember last year, it was Paul Skeens, massive number. And then Jackson Merrill came out of nowhere, and those numbers changed dramatically at the end of the year. So I don't know that these markets are done adjusting just yet. 12-1 is the number on Jacob DeGrom to win the Cy Young. And I know when you got Tarek Skubal, it's tough to overcome that. But DeGrom looked the part of old Jacob DeGrom last night. Florida with a no-no, took it into the 8th, gave up a base hit there to Colton Cowser. His ERA is now down to 2.08 this year. Rangers have not been good. He has been very good. So how about this? When you look at what he's been able to do in the 3 Jacobs last night, really good if your name was Jacob, because 19 shutout innings, 22 strikeouts for the trio of Jacobs with Jacob Lopez as well. So something in the name there. But DeGrom, Jensen, we talked a lot about this in spring training, that we thought he would be a candidate here for the Cy Young if he stays healthy. We're seeing that. Is 12-1 a playable number?
It hasn't changed. That's the
crazy thing
for me.
Yep.
And you know, I think if I'm looking at and I wanted to see where the Rangers playoff number is right now, and I have the Rangers in pocket to get a first round bye. I don't know if that is going to be in the cards this year. Right now, +225 to make the postseason. If we look at the award market in various books, DeGrom 12-1 at DraftKings. He's 11-1 at FanDuel.
Mm.
Would you rather have the Rangers to make the postseason at almost to +225? Or do you, I mean, again, a correlated play here. If DeGrom is pitching against Cy Young, they got a great chance to make the postseason.
I mean, there's no way that they would even consider dealing him, right?
No, they can't.
Like, nope. We can't do that. So if he's staying there and they're making a push and he's pitching every fifth day, we talked about it months ago too. I do think the heartstrings would start to play in a little bit. Everybody's rooting for him. And I don't know that there's going to be a fatigue factor for Scooble. But if he keeps pitching this well and Scooble just has a couple more indifferent outings like he had last time out, that number could get shorter. I would say the 12-1 still feels like a bettable number in that market. If we can walk down that narrative street, I think that's the way that it could get home. But he's going to have to keep putting up gems like he did last night. By the way, if you want to bet the ponies, our friends over at First Bet, they got you covered. You get a $200 sign-up bonus right now by using the promo code VEASAN200. So again, that's the number one, stbet.com. Head over to firstbet.com and sign up today. Josh Ingles talking Major League Baseball. That's next year. VEASAN by the books.
You're tuned in to VEASAN by the books right here on VEASAN.
We are back, VEASAN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. Appreciate Craig, Jason Young, Jason Stark, rather, getting on us. Letting us know, yes, it's Carson Young, not Cam Young. So, hey, PGA Tour, spell out the names. So we have no eyes on this right now because we don't have any TV coverage of it. So help us out a little bit, PGA. Put Carson or Cameron. It's not that hard. You don't have to put the C Young on there to confuse people like me this early in the morning. By the way, we were talking a little bit about Jacob deGrom in the last segment there for 12-1 for Cy Young. And you mentioned the Rangers at that number to make the postseason, I believe, +285, Jensen. That's the number you saw there. Is there a pathway there for them? Are we going to buy some bats? Because it feels like, really, if they can get some more offense, they might be live here. They're still one game under .500.
Yeah, right now, when you look at where just the playoffs are overall, as we said at the beginning of the year, we felt that the American League would be wide open, a lot of parity. The Rangers are as low as +215 on DraftKings. +225 was the number I saw on FanDuel, so very similar. But again, this goes back to our National League West arguments, Dave, where if you do feel the Rangers are a team that finds their way to the postseason, then I absolutely believe that you go into the American League pennant future there at 28-1. Again, can you make an argument right now that you have confidence in the Yankees as they're currently constructed? I don't. The Tigers, we have said for many months now, back into their lineup, not very confident at the moment that you can run the table. Now, they may only have to play a division series and an LCS to get to the World Series, but I do feel that they're going to have to be active at the deadline. The Astros, listen, I've watched them the last couple of nights.
Yep.
Shutting down the Phillies the way that Phillies are, what, 16, 17 consecutive scoreless innings right now. And I did, for people just tuning in, did jump on that. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, gave that out earlier this morning. The Phillies and the Astros under 7 in that afternoon affair today. But the Astros, also a team that have come on very strong. Dave, if you had to go double digits, I'd have to advocate for Tampa Bay at 10-1 in the American League, just because of how they are constructed and what they will get back. I think they feel much more equipped at present, and they have less areas to address from an offensive standpoint than where the Rangers do. So That would be my handicap right now of the American League pennant if we're looking at just teams to make it. And what is the better value, to play the make the playoff price or to potentially monetize it even further at a parabolic value of those double-digit numbers?
Love those handicaps. Really impressed with what Houston's done the last 2 days. I have to rethink my thoughts, certainly on the Houston Astros. Let's bring into the program Josh Ingles. Always great to have Josh on here on a Thursday. Does a great job at covers. Give him a follow on X as I do, at covers_Josh. Joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. And let's stay with that theme here, Josh, very quickly to begin the conversation today. You're looking at some pitchers today that maybe we're going to be fading today. Does that start with the right-hander in Kansas City? And my goodness, what's happened to the Royals?
Yeah, I mean, every day when we kind of just look at the entire board, because it's a reset every day, not a lot carries over from Wednesday to Thursday. Betting pitchers is the easiest and most consistent thing, I think. Betting a guy for over, 1.5 total bases for plus money when he gets 4 plate appearances, he hits the ball 104, but it's at somebody, but it has an expected 75% base hit percentage and probability. I really don't enjoy that. I'll take something like maybe, you know, like someone like Imanaga, who's coming back after injury, to fade. I mean, someone who's in, let's say, Kansas City, where it's not exactly 85 degrees right now, 90 degrees, double-digit winds blowing out. Michael Lorenzen, my favorite, are walk props right now, and I'm starting to see the books realize that, because DraftKings right now is only offering the milestone overs. They're not offering the under walks immediately in the morning, so you know you're onto something when the books start to adjust. But the overs are there, so we can get that. Michael Lorenzen for over 1.5 walks, I think -120 with a fair, somewhere in that -140 range. It's not the best walk board. I love anything at like +130 or better on an over or under walk, because I think it's a lot more close to a coin flip at that total number. But KC starter projects for 2.1 walks today, 91 pitches. He's 4-1 to the over across his last 5. And the big thing there, over that last 5, we're starting to see a regression to his last year walk numbers, which were 11.2%. He's at 7.8%, so hopefully things with the heat and maybe some fatigue setting in, coming back. And I'm sure J-Lew can get to this. This is a point in the year where some of my favorite angles right now are getting pitchers who haven't pitched in heat on their unders, on their inefficiencies, because there's a big difference going from the 75 to 80 that we saw maybe 2 starts ago to now ramping up, especially in the Midwest areas where we're seeing close to 95 with like 60% humidity.
Josh, it's a perfect segue too, because we can go right into the heartland here with the Cubs and the Cardinals, and a guy coming right back off the injured list in Shota Imanaga. And I know you're definitely targeting some unders there. Same way though here with Andre Pallante, day game after a night game, opportunity to attack the unders for both these starting pitchers in your mind?
Yeah, so the Pallante one scares me most, because I come in on Thursdays and want to talk about a getaway game in the heat. I just hate, and I say it every time, guys throwing away at bats. So the under does scare me on Pallante, under 17.5 outs. But -110, only paying 10 cents on that. But it's 100 degrees in St. Louis right now. He's 4-2 to the under on this number over his last 6. And the thing about Pallante is he's been getting to that 18-out mark on efficiency. We're talking like 88 to 92 pitches. He doesn't pitch much above that. He's projected for 88 today. He's averaging 87 over his last 10 starts. So if that heat does affect his efficiency, this is a guy that's going to struggle to get to 18 outs. It's a tough matchup. His splits are actually worse at home than they are on the road. I'm just worried about the at-bats getting thrown away. But 17.5 outs, I'll take the 10 cents there. And Imanaga is an interesting one, because it opened at 4.5 on his strikeouts. I believe DraftKings is somewhere in that -125 range. It's -140 now. So here's the thing. I like the -140 under 4.5. This was a number, even when he had a full leash, that he was 2-6 to the over on. So this, at a full leash, he wasn't even getting to this number. Now he's coming back off injury. Last start was in May. He got up to about 72 pitches. So usually the rule of thumb is +15 pitches in terms of last game and increasing your leash. So somewhere in that 85 pitch. But again, 100 degrees. This is a tough spot to be as efficient and have as much energy to get through those later innings, because things could really fall off a cliff. So here it is. Wait for the number to flip at 3.5. If you don't like paying 40 cents, I get it. Wait for the number to flip to 3.5. Lots of other books have. The flip number is really important from book to book. So we'll go from about minus 170. Hopefully on the flip side, on the 3.5 under, you can get plus 130, plus 135. Some books will be higher than others. But in that spot, that's what you want. The minus 170 under 4.5 has the same implied probability as the under 3.5 at plus 125. So those are your comps in terms of the price for the 4.5 and 3.5. But I'll take the 4.5 at minus 140. And if you can't get that, wait for the flip at 3.5, get it plus 125 or better.
Josh, I think everybody's looking at Clayton Kershaw. Can he get 8 Ks today in Colorado? Dodgers massive favorites, by the way, 305 in the betting line there against the Rocks. But you're looking at the opposing pitcher here for Austin Gomber. How are you playing this game here for the Dodgers and the Rocks?
There's just numbers that you just have to take under. Logan Webb yesterday, 20.5 out. I don't care who you're playing. I'm taking your under. To get to 21 outs is insanely efficient. One bad inning and you're done, and we saw him 18 outs and he's done. Austin Gomber making his second straight start back from injury. 7.5 hits allowed. 25 cents to the under. I get it, but I'm happy to pay that. I'd probably take it to minus 135. It's just a gigantic number. 8 hits? This guy's only going to have like an 81 to 85 pitch leash. He gave up 12 hits in his last outing, which was his second start back. Sorry, so this will be his third. That was his first back in Colorado. There's a few outs in this spot too, right? Like he was on the 60-day IL. If he gets hit hard again, they might just say, okay, let's reevaluate the situation. Maybe we rush things back. Slight chance of rain if anybody was on any pitching unders yesterday, especially Yamamoto's under outs. I mean, the sky's opened up and you got that under, so it's always nice to have that back pocket out in terms of rain, a little bit of projected rain possible today. But Austin Gomber under 7.5 hits allowed, minus 125. Just give away those at-bats. Now I'll take the throwaway at-bats here on the L.A. side.
All right, I'm right there with you, Josh. Yeah, so we're going to play some unders here, and I like where your head's at here. And you do have to look at the weather situation, Josh, because as you mentioned, that affected some of these lines and some of these totals that we saw in the pitching market yesterday. Josh, we appreciate the information as always, my friend. We'll catch up again soon.
Hey, my second favorite, Jansen Junk, over 3.5 strikeouts, minus 110, K per inning guy too, late game. Let's throw that out there for Jay Lou as well.
There it is, one more pitching prop to get to on the day. Give him a follow on X at Josh, covers_Josh, does a great job over at Covers. Mike Palm in studio next. It's VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Great conversation with Josh Ingles in the last segment, talking Major League Baseball there from Covers. Always great to have Mike Palm in studio here on a Thursday. Going to get to Palm's Pressing 3 in the next segment. But Mike, thanks for joining us once again. You've got a long day, and when you do these long days, I call this stuff contraband. The amount of sugar you put in that coffee to get through your day, Mike.
I have to. I didn't sleep very well last night either. I was hoping to get a good 4 hours. I got about 2. But yeah, we'll do the show now. And then, of course, as you know, we'll start taping for the smash hit of the summer, Bet on Chicago.
There it is.
That taping, so I'll start taping my individual spots at about 6:30, and then the interviews start at 9. Get that wrapped up by about 11:30. Then we have lunch with the officers at noon. I'll be on Follow the Money, co-hosting with Mitch Moss from 1 to 4.
Awesome.
And then we have a slot tournament that starts today and runs through Saturday.
Oh.
I'll be announcing that from 5 to 11 tonight.
Wow.
The Cleopatra machine's right next to collections on the second level here.
So we're gonna give him a pass, Jensen, on the contraband here with the amount of sugar in that coffee. You know, we saw Derek out here and he was making the rounds as well, getting ready everybody well versed on the football contest. How is that coming along for Millions and Circa, Mike? Because it feels like, dare I say, this is the biggest of the year so far, and every year I know it just gets bigger.
We're pacing about 20. You know, it's early, so this is like early returns in voting, right? I mean, we're talking about 3% of the total and how we're doing against that. But we're pacing about 20% over in Survivor.
Wow.
Which would mean going from 14 million to, you know, maybe 18 million if you kept it that. I think we can get to 20. I put the over under at 18.3 million, Dave. I'm being bullish this year, but I think this is such a beautifully designed contest that people, when they get knocked out, can't wait to get back in. The proxies tell me, and really starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you'll see three or four proxies here all day with appointments, one after another.
Right.
A little slower on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but they're still here and they catch the stragglers, right, who come in and don't have a proxy. So it's nice that they keep office hours. The millions is about 10, 12% behind pace. And it says one on the board for Grandissimo, but really it's two, technically one, but another gentleman has wired his 100,000 in.
Wow.
Now we're booking him the JXS flight with his wife to come out. So when he signs up, it'll become two. And also there's another person coming next week who says he's going to buy two entries. So possibly at the end of next week, you'll see four on the board for Grandissimo.
Wow. Wow, Mikey. I'm not going to commit just yet to Grandissimo, but I will commit. I will be doing at least 1 millions. And I was telling Dave, I think for posterity, we will have at least one by the books joint entry between Dave and myself. And we're hoping that we could make history with the silver bullet as far as the VSiN productions are concerned. And I will be a first timer in Circus Survivor this year. I'm very excited to do it. Do you suggest I do the max of 10 entries, or do you think five is enough for me?
Well, how could I tell you not to buy 10? But I sort of think six is the optimal number.
Okay.
It's at some point there's diminishing returns.
Sure.
But people want to buy as much as they can afford, right?
Right.
I had a couple. I'm from Dubuque, Iowa. I got out of the studio yesterday. This nice couple in their early 40s come up. We want to introduce ourselves. We're from Dubuque. And we just wanted to come down and say hello to you. And I'm trying, what's the connection, right? They're not, I didn't go to school with them. They're 8, 9 years younger than me, right? The wife went to Holy Ghost, which is down the hill from where I live, but not the same parish. And then they went to public. She went to public high school. He came from Kansas City, but they met at Loras College, and then worked in Dubuque and got married. They just came down from Cosmo to say hello to me because they had heard that I was on this show.
That's
and
very
they wanted
cool.
to meet another Dubuquer. And I said, well, that's very nice. And they said, we've been here before to Circa. We like the Legacy Club, the Stadium Swim. We're going to play slots. If we can hit a hand pay, he said, I'm going to buy a Survivor entry.
Ooh.
Are you going to go on your own in Survivor, Jensen? I would recommend that only because there's a lot of heartache with one pick. With five picks, I get two people, four people.
Sure.
And you have a process of how you come up with the picks. With the one pick, Amol Shaw twice made deep runs, week 12 and week 14.
Ooh.
Both times eliminated on his partner's pick.
Oh.
He said, I'll never do it again. I can't do it again in Survivor with the partner.
Well, that's an interesting one. And again, when you see the numbers coming in, again, as you mentioned, I love the election comparison, that the early returns.
Very early.
But let me ask you, Jensen, too, because, you know, if we're going to do a joint entry, I wonder if millions is the way to go. If that's the underserved one right now, and Survivor being the popular play, I wonder if millions is the way to get in this thing.
As a partner, if you're going to have a process where there's input from multiple people, I think millions is the way to go. Wes Reynolds and Jeff Parles split an entry 1 year, and they would call each other on Thursday for 5 hours to come up with the five. I mean, I wish you could have taped these conversations. They spent a great deal of their life, and I think they finished like four games out of the money. I mean, it was just what a process, right?
Oh, my goodness. Here's
the difference. Now, I would, if it were me, and of course I can't enter, I would do Survivor because I'm not smart enough to pick five games on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's tough.
One, okay, two, the third one gets tough. Now five.
Right.
But here's the thing. There's 126 ways to win. The quarters is what make it so attractive to me.
Right.
Because anybody can get hot for a month.
Sure.
Can you get hot at the right four-week interval?
Oh.
And if you go bad, you have that chance to try to go for the booby prizes as well. So and then we see in Survivor, it can be over in week one with the Bengals every year, right?
Yeah,
and then you have all the FOMO, but it's two very different contests. And I think Grandissimo is very different too, with two max entries and probably playing against 20 or 30 other people. That's a totally different strategy than trying to beat 15,000 people and go 20-0.
Oh God. And I know I was talking with Mitch out in Omaha, Mikey, we were saying, I mean, this thing could be over in week six if you're Grandissimo. And again, if we have the carnage that we've seen the last couple of years early on. Just anxious to see the difference in strategy there. I'll put a bow on it for you guys, and I know Dave will appreciate this. Mikey, we always say in a Lewis Ross administration, you know, there are no checks and balances on us when it comes to the millions or the survivor. But if you want to see a well-oiled machine for all our political friends that watch the show every single day, this is how you run an administration. There will be transparency. We will tell people about our process. So I'm excited. My last question to you was, what would you recommend for people coming out for proxies? Because I know I'm going to be planning my trip out there to be able to do it. Do you advocate more for early in the week for appointments just to avoid the, you know, the rush that will eventually come, just from a process standpoint about getting that scheduled and done? What do you recommend for people coming out
at this time? No, it doesn't really make a difference. If you're coming on the weekend, it's fine. The last week,
oh boy,
really try to avoid Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I know some people can't get it till then. I know the locals like to come down. I know, remember, you can re-enter the survivor if you lose the Thursday game, you lose the Friday game and all that. Saturday is so hard to get them in, and you only got till 2. And Friday, I mean, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last year, we did over 1,000 survivor entries each day, plus the millions we were doing on 300 or 400 on top of that, too. So it's a never-ending line, and to book a proxy is almost so. If you're here not in the last week of the year, you're okay. But if you're here in the last week, I would really try to avoid the last 4 days.
I will say last year I saw up close and personal, and it was a zoo. It was
and Jeff Benson and his staff do a great job. And, of course, you at the D, they have lines, and they can get them in. And at our satellite stations at Silverton and at Tuscany and at the pass in Henderson. By the way, the administration comment reminds me of this group that comes out for March Madness every year from Kansas, printed up a bunch of T-shirts in 2022, Stevens Palm 24. I said, you know, I really appreciate it, but you've got the wrong name on the top of the ticket.
Absolutely. By the way, the NBA draft is now come and gone. Do you guys rethink about booking that?
No.
No. It's like
we think about booking the NFL, whether we want to do it every year.
But the NBA, no.
First of all, I mean, what was the drama? I mean,
everybody knew.
FanDuel was offering the exact of the top five at minus 120.
I guess
after that, it gets at 6, and then it gets a little bit interesting. But, you know, we took everything down. We'll repost NBA odds on Friday. I don't know that there's that.
I was going to say, any seismic shifts from what you saw last night? I don't believe so, right?
I don't, but everything, because everything went kind of according to Hoyle. And, I mean,
we were all waiting on Giannis. That doesn't happen.
I still think they should move him, but I if you talk to people from Wisconsin, especially the ones that work here, that's sacrilegious, right?
Yeah, I don't think you can have that conversation. Yeah.
Instead, punish the guy and make him stay in an organization where he'll never get back to an Eastern Conference Finals.
One of the game very quickly before we get to Pawns Pressing 3 in the next segment. Jensen and I have been talking a lot about it. Skeens, Mizorowski, did you guys take a lot of action on that game? Because it felt like that was a showcase game.
The biggest bet we took was Brewers team total under 2.5. So that it worked out for us early. Do you know the end game on that going to the bottom of the second was 4.5? The game total was 4.5 going to. On principle, I almost bet it over. And then I thought, I really want to watch these two kids pitch, so I'm not going to do it. And of course, then 4, and then it gets there. But 4.5 in the second inning, that's you can't even do that in a DeGrom game.
That is insanity. Yeah, and then Skeens does something we've never seen, gives up four by himself there in that second inning. By the way, VSiN Splits, if you want to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get access to the splits that you get here at Circa each and every day. Also, DraftKings out there, so you get different perspective in the marketplace here. $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. When you become a VSiN Pro subscriber in those betting splits, they're going to make you a better. Palms Pressing 3, it's up next.
By the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back with the VP of Operations right here at Circa, the one and only Mike Palm. Give him a follow on X as I do at Mike Palm Circa. But Jensen, without further ado, I know Americans can't wait each and every week for Palms Pressing 3.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
Jensen, in today's Major League Baseball, we're inundated with advanced analytics as every conceivable data point is tracked, charted, and analyzed, often to the point of overwhelming even NASA engineers. And yet, for all the statistical firepower, it's still shocking how often teams appear to overlook basic advanced scouting of their next opponent. Jensen, a prime example came this past week when both the Cubs and the Twins inexplicably pitched to arguably the hottest hitter in baseball right now, Cal Raleigh, in high-leverage situations. It left many wondering, was there any pre-series scouting of the Mariners at all? From your experience, take us inside the clubhouse. How seriously is advanced scouting taken at the major league level? Are players handed a scouting sheet they glance at once and toss? Are they assigned in-depth prep responsibilities for each opposing hitter they're likely to face in an upcoming series? Or, in the case of the Twins, is no prep work done at all?
Yeah, kids these days, Mikey, will not be able to appreciate the pre-series scouting meetings. So, and I hesitate to use this phrase, back in my day, we would get together before a series, and pitching coach, bullpen coach, any other assistants involved in the pitching coordination, we'd all get in a meeting room, entire pitching staff, all of our catchers, and we would go through every hitter active on the roster for that series. Predominantly, you know, go through strengths, weaknesses, recent form, anything that would stand out. Now, a lot of this, Mike, was more for the starters, and they would have their own separate meeting day of, go through any video, any tendencies that they would try and attack. For me, I knew that I would focus mostly on the right-handers. I was going to be in leverage situations, maybe potentially lefties. I can remember when I was facing the Twins, when it was Maurer, Morneau, and Kubel. And, you know, I was the lucky right-hander that was okay versus righties and lefties. So I knew I would be facing those lefties. And so it'd be a lot of changeups for me. And to kind of put it into perspective, now there's so much of the backpack game and the laptop gang that they're just spitting out numbers and tendencies. And you see these charts in the backs of the dugouts. That's all they're doing is cheat sheets. So the iPads, you know, in here, you know, guys looking down for instant feedback, things of that nature. So to answer your question roundaboutly, yes, it is taken very, very seriously, but maybe paralysis by analysis these days.
Yeah, and, you know, I used to call it like Sierra Mist and the Wobas, and it's just too many numbers coming
Sierra
at me here,
Mist.
Right?
Yes.
And Jensen, we talked about it too with Cal Raleigh here to this question of like, when does he get, nobody's going to get the judging and treatment, and certainly yeah. Shohei has protection in the lineup. But at some point, right, they've got to look at this and say, I can't let Cal Raleigh beat us.
And if you play Minnesota, why would you let Buxton beat you?
Right.
You could pitch around both those guys in those lineups.
Yes.
But inexplicably, yep. Finally, Boldelli intentionally walked him.
You shouldn't need numbers
on Tuesday.
to know this stuff, right?
It's two doubles, and you look at him in the dugout, wow, he's a lucky guy, that Cal Raleigh. I think that there's these home run props.
Yes.
Somebody asked me yesterday, what would I set it at right now, his home run? I probably 50 and a half or 51, but there's 57s and a half. It's just people, you're catching.
Yeah.
Right? That takes a big toll on your body. Remember the year, what was it, 3 years ago when Shohei won it? Salvi Perez had an unbelievable season, catching 140 games behind the plate that I don't think was appreciated enough. Okay, question two. We saw Jacob Mizorowski make his third excellent start in three attempts since being called up by the Brewers, throwing five shutout innings and beating Paul Skeens and the Pirates yesterday afternoon in front of a standing room only crowd at Miller Park on an early Wednesday afternoon in late June. Mizorowski has gone from 25-1 for National League Rookie of the Year 3 weeks ago to odds on. He throws a fastball up to 102 and his slider at 94-96. But here's my question, Jensen. How long can he sustain this level of success without a viable third pitch?
I would say probably the next month, Mike, just knowing that, you know, potential starts, his next start, and this will be great for Dave, is going to be in Citi Field against the New York Mets. And then he will probably line up back at home against the Dodgers. So you're going to find out, Rookie, talk about scouting. there may not be two organizations that have more invested in that analytics department. We know the Dodgers have just basically their own AI when it comes to it. So yeah, he's going to find out quickly. And ironically, just like the schedule, he may have back-to-back starts, guys, against the Dodgers. Woo. So he's get the Mets on the road. He'll come home against the Dodgers. And then potentially in all likelihood, he will get there or he'll face the Nationals. But I give it a month, Mike, because there'll be a lot of departments, especially in the second half of the division, that will have plans of attack here. And remember, guys, he's still got 7 walks here already. So, I mean, it's not like it's pinpoint command out of the chute here. So he does have a tendency to maybe lose the zone time or two. But right now, yeah, because everyone's seeing him for just the first time, probably another month.
Well, I'll say this. If he comes out of those 3 matchups and still looks like he does now, he's going to be a lock for Rookie of the Year.
He's winning the Rookie of the Year.
Right?
Yeah.
Jensen, if you had to, door 1 or door 2, Mizorowski at -110 for National League Rookie of the Year, or Chase Burns at +375 now for National League Rookie of the Year?
I jumped in on Burns at 20-1, yeah. So I'll take Burns right now, just because I think the Reds have more staying power potentially than the Brewers.
Very quickly, you mentioned standing room only. 33,000-seat stadium was just broken on here in Las Vegas for the Las Vegas A's when they come here in a couple years. What do you make of that 33,000-seat stadium here in Vegas?
You know, Major League Baseball requires 32. So,
wow.
Derek recommended 25, but Major League Baseball doesn't allow that. That's very serious.
Really?
Yeah.
So he wanted 25, and they said, no, it's got to be 32.
No, you must. 32 is the minimum.
So they got to 33.
So they put in 33 at the Sydney Opera House. Okay. by the way, I worked for a year at Pottawatomie, so we had tickets to all the Brewers games.
Yeah.
The only time that people ever came was when Ichiro was the Mariners. They were in the American League still.
Oh, yeah.
And when Ichiro came in, that's the only time the Cubs, they would get a good crowd. But they weren't coming to watch the Brewers. Question 3, Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom, who Greg Maddux told me to bet for Cy Young at 30-1 before the season started, took a perfect game into the 7th and a no-hitter into the 8th last night in Baltimore. The win moves him to 8-2 with an ERA of 2.08 and a whip of 0.88. His Ks per 9, Jensen, are the lowest since 2016 at 8.87. But his 95 innings thrown this year are already the most he's thrown in a season since 2019. With all of the injuries, can DeGrom regain his status as the best pitcher in baseball?
He may be in the conversation right now, Mikey. And I you know, Dave and I were talking about it. His odds haven't changed much, right? He's still 12-1 at DraftKings to win the Cy Young. I'll tell you what, Steve Phillips, great friend of the program, told me earlier this year, he goes, I'm picking DeGrom to win the Cy Young. This was back in February. So, from a guy who's seen plenty of it, I would take his endorsement wholeheartedly, but I think right now you're kind of seeing it. Like I'll throw it back to you. If you had to have a game started recent form, the way they're throwing right now, to win a winner take all for the World Series, do you want Tarek Skubal on the mound or do you want Jacob DeGrom?
That's an interesting question. I have to say DeGrom.
Yep.
I would too.
I needed somebody to be the number one in my staff all year, it would be Skubal.
Yep. Hunter
Brown's starting to get in the conversation. I bet him at 20-1, and I'm not even really following the race. I need Skubal to get hurt. It almost seems like.
Well, and Brown's
fastball
going today.
Velocity is taking a downtick too for Skubal here. The last 4 to 5 starts. So
yeah, that's correct.
That as well.
Down. 3 consecutive starts.
By the way, very quickly, you mentioned you've got a 30-1 ticket on him, and I know Jensen's got a longer ticket on DeGrom as well. If you didn't have a ticket, is 12-1 still fair with what DeGrom's done to this body?
12-1 is fair, but the problem is Skubal. You forget about the rest of the page. Something has to happen to Skubal.
He didn't pitch well the last outing.
Oh, well, he won. He gave up 2 home runs, and they scored 11 for him, right?
I mean, we're trying to really get into that resume a little bit.
By the way, Mitch Moss on the show yesterday called the start by Lopez last night in Detroit. He was all over that. So
really?
It was a great call.
Pretty darn good call.
Yeah.
that coffee kicking in yet since you have a long day?
It's kicking. I might have to have another maybe. maybe at 4 o'clock when I walk out of the studio.
All right, so you're going to be on later on with Mitch.
Yeah, I'm hosting with Mitch. Nick Bogdanovich on at 1:30 today to talk about the new venture with Joe Asher, the new sports book.
They're awesome. Opening. I'll be listening. Mike, great to have you in the studio as always.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. There he is, the one and only Mike Palm. Does a great job here up and down the network, and of course at Circa as well. Okay, coming up in hour number three here, I'm going to have Reed Kuhn join us from Washington, D.C. UFC 317 coming up this weekend. Reed's numbers are fantastic. Going to break that down. So much more to get to. Hour three straight ahead. It's VSiN by the books.